理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us in Advance Your Window on the World as we continue our article on athletes versus fans today. Welcome back, everyone. Let's welcome everybody back.
Hey. Welcome back, everybody.
We hope that you're all fans of advanced class, and we are glad that you are studying with us because we study so many different subjects. We're having one on sports and athletes and how they act at games and sportsmanship. It's kind of a different kind of an article. Are you enjoying this article, Bill?
Yes, I'm very interested in this article. Always have followed sports closely, and I know a lot about this, so I'm interested in talking about it.
And Ethan, what about you? Do you think that this is a very timely article for us to have in our advanced class?
Oh, I definitely do, in light of last November's outbreak in this basketball game, and also just in general, I think that we've seen violence at least displayed in sports over the media more and more, and so this is a very good article for us to be bringing forth and presenting the issue that maybe something needs to change.
The article you can find in your magazine on page 40, pages 40 and 41, and there's going to be a lot of games in China coming up and in Taiwan. There's all these different games that are going to be played in the next few years, and everybody's getting ready for them. But we also have to get ready for our whole attitude and whether we're going to be good sports no matter who wins or who loses. We're glad to have our panelists, Billy, with us today. Billy is a great sports fan. And Billy, what would you think we could learn from this article on athletes versus fans?
Well, I think we can learn that we need to control our anger and that even though we do want to be passionate about what we love and what we're trying to do, we need to know not to go overboard with that passion.
That's good. Well, let's look at page 41 today. Because after all, when you think about games, they are very important at the time, but really, it's only a game. It's not your real life. Anyway, let's find out why people are so excited and they get so upset about this. Let's read down through line 23 today on page 41.
It's only a game. How is a middle-class sports fan supposed to react when Minnesota Timberwolves guard Latrell Sprewell reminds us that I got a family to feed after rejecting a $7 million a year contract offer? How are NBA players supposed to react to the increasingly pointed and profane taunts from spectators? Pro athletes and fans. It is a love-hate relationship as intense and festering as any in Western society. Resentment, disrespect, and misunderstanding are at the problem's core. The two sides are disconnected by cultural, financial, and sometimes racial divides. Fans are insulted by the likes of Artest, who recently asked his team for time off to promote a rap album he produced. They are turned off by huge contracts bestowed on younger and younger players. They are disgusted by perceived disloyalty of free agents.
Now, the beginning question here is how a middle-class sports fan is supposed to react. Middle-class are just your average person, one with a regular salary and living a regular life. How could they respond when they hear this that, well, I can't, feed my family. After all, $7 million isn't enough for me. How would you react to that, Billy?
Well, I can understand that some people would be disgusted. For me, I think I just laugh and know that the guy's a little out of his mind.
I mean, how can you really even spend $7 million,
I've never tried, Doris, so I'm not
really
sure.
You probably never get a chance.
would do that.
What do you think of that part of it, Bill?
Well, what's surprising about some of these athletes is some of them actually do spend $7 million. Some of them actually spend more than they make because once they get these big contracts, they go a little crazy with their spending and start buying everybody cars, and then they've got 20 people hanging around them, and some of these athletes actually go bankrupt even with these big contracts.
I don't think I can even, you know, figure out how to balance a checkbook if it had $7 million in it.
Well, and I think as a sports fan, one of the most frustrating things for me is I can't afford to go to, for example, a hockey game in Canada anymore because these player salaries have gotten so high that ticket is $100. Well,
oh, really?
For a college student, that's I can't afford to pay that.
$100?
So the higher these contracts get, the more and more sports fans going to sports become something for a higher class family.
Another thing, getting back to what Bill was saying, you're wondering how they spend all this money. Well, sometimes they're swindled. That they're young athletes and they have financial advisors who are lying to them and taking their money. And we've found, like with Mike Tyson, he earned a lot of money in all those fights, but he lost all of it and he's in debt right now.
That's hard to believe, isn't it? You know? Okay, so how are these NBA players supposed to react to the increasingly pointed and profane taunts from spectators? Now, pointed means that they are actually talking directly about you, and profane means to use language which is like we say swear words and curse words and things like that. And so they're calling them all kinds of names because people will often resent that. Now, they might not resent it if you get twice as much as they do, but if you get 100 times more, then people might resent it. How come you get all that money? I work hard too, and people do resent it when there's that much inequality.
Well, and I think we've all seen movies where there's someone who's yelling at the players or the referees or umpires, and it's a real problem. It can get really out of hand. And I was watching the news the other day, and I heard these players, they were interviewed about this basketball incident, and they talked about what is the barrier for fans that they should be allowed to talk about. It's okay if they said that it's okay if they insult the player themselves, but if they start insulting family members or if they start swearing, then that's when it crosses a line and shouldn't be happening.
I don't think it should be happening at all, and I think there are a lot of people in the media who disagree on this issue.
Right.
Some say players should be able to take it. They make a lot of money. It's a part of the game. No big deal. But then there's people who say fans have no right just because, as we'll read later on, just because they pay $50 or $100 for a ticket gives them no right to insult people or even threaten athletes.
One incident I can think of, Doris, is last year in the baseball season, some fans were making a comment to one of the players, not about the player, but pointed insults to him about, I believe, his wife and child who had a car accident and almost died. And it actually was getting to the point where it was extremely insulting. And, of course, it resulted in a brawl.
You know, these fights that go on, it talks about this idea of the athletes, the professional athletes, pro athletes, not high school games and college games, but these professionals. They have kind of a love-hate relationship. Now, this love-hate relationship can be in a lot of different things. You like it a lot, but then there's certain things you hate. And we find that this type of thing can cause anger because you know, fei chang mao dun, as we say in Chinese. You don't know, you know, sometimes you like them and sometimes you don't like them. They really admire the skill of these fans, but they don't like the things that they're into.
Right. Well, they love the passion. They love the excitement. They get into an arena and it gets so loud and it's an awesome place to play in. But then fans go a little overboard. They get wild. And, of course, athletes aren't going to appreciate that.
Well, they resent them. And these things are festering. It's just like they're getting worse all the time, aren't they?
Well, I was just thinking, too, it depends on which team the player plays on, Doris. A lot of these times, if the player is on the visiting team, then if they're playing in a stadium or arena with hostile fans, that's the problem there.
Well, then they're insulted with some of these people like this artist who asked his team for time off to promote a rap album that he produced. So they would say, well, you know, how come these people get all this money and they're doing all this on the side? Everybody's always concerned about everybody else's salary. If the place you work in, you get upset because somebody gets more than you do, that can cause anger. So if we just kind of forget about other people and think about doing our job ourselves and not comparing. Comparing makes us really unhappy.
Well, and I think it's a really important thing that we don't compare ourselves to one another and try and see who's better or whatnot. What I think is really sad is we were talking about that the pro athletes have this love-hate relationship. Well, in my college playing last 2 years ago, I noticed that it's even coming down to college and some high school games even that I went to watch, I saw it. So it is something that is festered and is becoming even worse in society as a whole.
At the same time, it's not like people in the normal world have never asked for time off to go on a vacation or to go do something. But if an athlete does it because they make so much, because it would just it's unheard of, then we come down on them. So I think, Doris, I think you're right. We should not worry so much about what's going on in other people's lives.
Right. Well, another thing I think is to me is the fact that they always call it like they're from Minnesota or they're from Washington or they're from some state. But what always has bothered me about these games is it's not really the people from there. They buy and sell all these players. Now, if it were just people, let's say that people I grew up with, and I'm from Washington State, and they were people I went to high school with, and they were in a game. They were having a game against the people from Minnesota. I'd kind of feel, well, these are my hometown people, and those were the Minnesota people. And in a sense, it's kind of like my state against their state. But when these players are from all over the place, and they buy them and they sell them and today they're this and tomorrow they're that, I can't really feel like it's my state just because that person got some money from there. So I think it takes away that feeling of pride in your own group. That's why you get all these different racial things and, you know, they're not really anybody loyal to anything. They're just loyal to the salary, it seems like.
Athletes are going for the salary, the money, as Bill was talking about, but so are teams. Mm-hmm. And so are fans. You know, everyone's concerned about the money. The money issue is a big issue in this anger. I think the other way a money issue is a big issue we haven't talked about yet is sports betting. Mm-hmm. Fans will bet on sports, right. And then if their team doesn't win, they will get angry. Or because they want their team to win, they will yell at athletes and things like that, so hopefully they can win the bet. It's a money issue.
You know, it seems to me, Billy, if people really want to do betting and things, they could go to Las Vegas and play the slot machines and let a machine do it, and then it would be luck. But, you know, to put it in on people. Now, sports really shouldn't be all about betting, should it? Shouldn't sports be more about the game and to see whether you can really play well? Shouldn't sports be about your skill?
Well, there's an ideal world that we'd love to live in, but a lot of people don't. And since they don't, they therefore react in unideal ways.
But when you see a game and you watch it, and you watch a lot of those on TV, I think, from time to time, Billy, don't you kind of get excited when people make a good play where it shows sportsmen where they have to go around and they can either get the basketball in or they do a good play in football? That's the exciting part, is to see the skill of the game, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and I'll get very excited. But the problem is I even find myself, when my athletes don't do the right thing, I might even kind of yell at the TV a little bit and be like, hey, how could you do that? What were you thinking? And I have to control myself. My wife says, Billy, what are you doing? And I say, oh, sorry, I was yelling at the TV again.
Okay. Good thing you don't break the TV.
That's why we see at the top of the article in our subtitle, it's only a game. We need to remember that this is only a game. It's not something that is extremely important to real life.
Okay.
Yes, you mentioned that before, Doris. You know, 100 years from now, who would remember? Because I was just thinking, if I asked anybody, well, who won the 1971 World Series? We'd all be thinking, well, I don't know.
Billy
would
probably be the only one knowing here. But anyway.
No idea.
But, you know, Some athletes see fans as very envious. You know, the athletes look at the fans, the people watch him, they say, well, you're just sorry because you can't play like I do. You know, you wish you could. Or they're overzealous, they care too much. Or they're hypocritical. And what does hypocritical mean?
Well, if you're hypocritical, you're saying something against someone, but you're actually doing the same thing yourself. And so you're pointing the finger and saying you're doing something wrong, but really you're doing it too.
Okay.
And that can be true of fans. Fans will accuse athletes of certain things or be angry at athletes. But like we saw in the Detroit, Indiana game, the fan who threw the beer and the fan who threw the chair, both of them had criminal records. I mean, they're not the ideal of society either.
That's right. They're not just your regular man on the street, are they?
You know, I was thinking, too, about the guy who threw the beer or chair, some of these fans. A lot of it has to do with crowd behavior, too. Mm-hmm. If you put these individuals in a room by themselves, For instance, the man who threw the beer at Ron Artest, if you put him in a room with Ron Artest and gave him a beer, he most likely would not throw that beer at Ron Artest.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
No, well, he wouldn't, because Ron Artest is 6'8", 6'9", and a lot bigger than he is. But we call it the mob mentality, right? Where the people around you can affect you, and that's what's going on with society today, that people are affecting each other in a wrong way, not in a positive way.
You know, some of them would get very angry at the athletes and say, how come you can go play for that other place? But what if you were one of the athletes and somebody said, I'll give you a couple more million if you play for this place? Well, wouldn't you accept it? That's where the hypocritical part comes in. You judge other people and say, why are they doing that? Well, would you do it? That's where you become hypocritical. Hypocritical is a very good word to know, but it's a very bad way to be. Won't say one thing, but then you might do it yourself. Don't criticize people for things that you might do yourself.
That's right. We had an athlete, Carlos Boozer, with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who promised last year to sign with Cleveland. But then when another team offered him a lot more money, we're not completely sure what happened, that he broke that promise and signed with the other team. And so a lot of fans were very angry.
I don't blame the players as far as taking the big money contracts, because I know if I was in that position, I'd do exactly the same thing.
I'm not really sure if I would or not. I get kind of attached to the people that, you know, a little bit of loyalty goes a long way sometimes. I think you need to be loyal to your team too, though.
But an extra $20 million goes a long way too for some people.
But, you know, you can only buy so many pairs of shoes and so many clothes and, you know, so many cars.
I mean, that's true.
After a while, that much money wouldn't mean that much to me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, $20 million, I mean, how can you really spend $20 million? That's interesting.
This thing about free agents, too, we're talking about team players changing. You mentioned, Doris, you know, if your team from Washington was playing the team from Minnesota and you would identify with your team. That used to exist back maybe in the 60s or 70s, and players would stay with the same team.
Okay.
Yeah. But even I think of my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 70s. They were a great team, but all the players were together for 10 years. That doesn't exist anymore in sports. Players come and go. They play 1-2 years here, and then they go to another
team. See, that's what I don't like.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, because it's so what? They're just hired. They're just hired people to go out there and do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. But actually, fans get even more excited about it because they're excited about the new athlete who might come in on a trade or as a free agent the next year, because usually what fans are most excited about is just their team in general, not necessarily the players. It's hard to get attached to the players these days.
Yeah, how does it become theirs in a way? Because it's not your state, your sometimes other countries and other things. You know, it's not easy to get attached to something that you're not really connected with.
Well, then we have the bandwagon scenario where people just jump on the bandwagon of whatever team is doing well at the time.
I think of another term that I would use with free agents. We would say hired guns. And that would be somebody who you just hire for a temporary period of time to do your dirty work.
I hire you to be my team. Right. Okay. Okay. So it seems like that they have these huge contacts that are given to these younger and younger players, and they are disgusted with this, what they feel is perceived. Means you look at it that way, perceived. I look at it this way, that this is the disloyalty of people who are free agents. I can go wherever I want. I'm not loyal to anything but myself. Well, then why should I pay you? So these make people upset in the first place.
And of course, you were talking about pro sports, and that's why a lot of people really love college sports, because there are no salaries, and the people can be very loyal to the team, and they really enjoy college sports.
See, that's why what Ethan was saying, that some of this type of thing is even getting down to college sports. Now, how is that happening?
Well, I noticed it in something Bill mentioned especially, was that alcohol is starting to make its way into college games. Many colleges still don't allow it, but that's one place where a trigger has come. And then there is extreme loyalty sometimes to a college, and if your team loses, then that anger erupts against the other team.
Okay, well, we have to watch all those things, but let's finish reading the article today on page 41, starting in line 24.
Some athletes see fans as envious, overzealous, and hypocritical. Top players wonder who wouldn't accept millions more to play elsewhere. Also, reality television has made common folk into stars. giving some fans false license to think they are part of the show. Fans live through us, says National Football League player Aaron Shea. They kind of put themselves in our situation. Sometimes they go over the edge. There's often times that maybe we're at fault, too. Such was the case in the Indiana-Detroit game. Both sides were in the wrong. Buying a $50 ticket doesn't permit fans to throw objects or hurl crude insults. Multi-million-dollar contracts and star status don't give athletes the right to go into the stands. As for both sides, they need to remember it's only a game. Sports are supposed to be fun.
That's a good point that sports are supposed to be fun, and how can it be fun if people get so angry and so upset? It takes away all the fun, doesn't it, Billy?
It sure does. I was playing Monopoly the other night with my wife, and she beat me really, really badly, really handily, and I wasn't too happy.
I hope you're a good sport.
I trying to be a good sport, but I didn't like losing Monopoly, and I learned that if I'm going to enjoy Monopoly with my wife, I have to be a good loser, too.
Right. We have to learn that, and kids have to learn that. I've seen people who play games like card games and things with children, and they always say, well, let them win because they're little. And they never lose. They have to learn to lose. Sometimes they don't want them to cry or feel unhappy, so they say, oh, I always let my child win. Then they're not going to be able to handle the world. They have to learn what it's like to be a good loser. And if they don't learn it when they're children, I doubt if they'll learn it when they grow up.
I actually struggle with that each day with teaching my English classes, Doris, because sometimes when I play games in class, and it's fascinating the range of responses I get. Some children deal with losing quite well, and then I will have other children who actually start crying or will throw temper tantrums in class because their team lost the game.
So that's what's something you have to start learning really from the time you're very, very small. And I think some of the people nowadays haven't learned it, I guess, one of the problems. And they get too involved. But what part has actually reality television had in all of this?
Well, it turns common folk into stars, and it gives some fans feel that they have license to think that they are part of the show.
Okay. So the fans think, well, we can just do whatever we want. When you have a license to do something, it means that you have permission to do it.
Well, and they're also looking for their 15 minutes of fame. They want to just be on TV. Who knows? Maybe the guy threw the beer, partly out of anger, partly out of knowing he's going to be on SportsCenter, ESPN, every night, right?
I think about my friends and I went to a baseball game, and we would do some crazy stuff. We'd stand up and wave signs and just to try and get on TV. And so you do try and get your 15 minutes of fame, and that is one of the problems, is that sometimes those things can go over the edge.
But I don't think I'd want to be on TV hitting somebody or throwing something at somebody. That would be kind of a disgrace, wouldn't it?
You would think so.
Right.
I just thought of something really quick. My dad, who is a great man but was really into my sports, would often get thrown out of my sports games when I was a teenager because he would get upset at the referees. He'd say, you need some glasses. You can't see. And finally, the referee would say, excuse me, sir, you're going to have to leave right now because we can't concentrate on the game. That's just because he loved me and had a passion for the game I was playing, but it can happen with any of us, really.
Well, I think that's a combination. Billy's father had a passion for his son, and then we have a passion for maybe our favorite team. And then you throw in things like maybe the mob mentality and mix in a little bit of alcohol, and pretty soon you've got a behavior that just seems totally out of whack with society.
Well, it seems to me the ones that I've heard a lot about are some of these soccer teams from England and some of those that they have a bad reputation. And they have people that go around and just try to make trouble with those games, don't they?
Yes. Those fans are called hooligans, and they are followers of specific teams.
Hooligans are kind of like what?
Hooligans are really, we would call them people that just are there to cause trouble.
Liu Meng in Chinese, Liu Meng, probably.
Yeah, they go to the games. They're not really interested in who wins or loses the games, but they're interested more in getting fights started with the opposition fans.
Why would they do that?
Well, typically the hooligans are, they come from, they're unemployed, young men who also will go and drink a lot of alcohol, and that just is simply what they do, and that's their life. It's a distraction from their life.
So alcohol and sports don't mix. Remember that. Okay.
Well, I think it's also interesting, as the article says, there's often times where the athletes are at fault too. It's not just the fans who are at fault. The fans do have a responsibility to act maturely and in a good way, but the sports players then in return have to also know the boundaries and not go over those.
That's true. If someone threw a beer at me, I would probably get a little angry, and who knows, maybe I might want to do something. But Ron Artest himself, who was the player in this Indiana-Detroit game, said afterwards the next day that he regretted doing that, that even though the fan threw a beer at him, he knows that he should not have gotten up and gone into the stands and tried to hurt anyone.
Okay, now this one, that was the one that happened in November, was it?
That's right.
So what do you think was the main problem with that game then? Who was the one that was actually at fault at that basket brawl?
Well, there's so many different people that you could say. As we read about and we heard in our feature, Ben Wallace started with a hard foul that was not deserved. Ron Artest walked away from that hard foul. He laid down on the scorer's table and tried to act like he wasn't going to do anything. And a fan threw a beer at him, and he ran into the stands. So everyone played a part, and that's where we all have to realize we all need to take responsibility for our own actions.
I'd have to say, I think the fans, for the most part, are responsible for this. I've gone to hundreds of sporting events in my lifetime, Doris, and I have never understood the mentality of a fan that thinks they can inject themselves into the game in any way. I don't care what the situation is.
The fans are supposed to be there to watch and to cheer, but they're not supposed to be there to throw things or hit people or anything else. So they have to control themselves, keep their anger under control. That's one of the biggest problems.
I like the sentence in the article. It says, buying a $50 ticket doesn't permit fans to throw objects or hurl crude insults, and multi-million-dollar contracts and star status don't give athletes the right to go into the stands.
Maybe they need to have a little thing that says, manners for sports fans, and give that out before they go in, or regulations or something like that.
I'm not sure if the fans would even care about reading that little booklet, but what we do need, or what we're going to see at least, is more security at these games. If you're going to continue to have a lot of fans, and if you're going to continue to have alcohol at games, then you're going to have more security to keep the players on the court and have this fan stay in the stands.
You might want to discuss this article with your friends, because more and more people are attending sports events in Asia. They're becoming more and more important. And I think as we have a lot of Asian games coming out here, some of them in Taiwan, some of them in China, other places in the world, we need to learn to be good sports here in Asia. And maybe we can show the rest of the world an example of good sportsmanship. So let's think about that as these games are coming to our area. Let's be prepared. And thank you for being with us today, and we hope you've enjoyed the article, and we hope that you yourself will be a good sport and learn to control your anger and learn how to react when other people do something to you. Don't throw something back at them. What about that? Okay? So we'll see you in class. We have another subject coming up, and thank you all for being with us today. Your panelists, check them out on the web. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.